Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and we are glad that you're with us today. We are really excited about the wedding that happened yesterday. Emily Smith and Matthew DeYoung were married in this sanctuary yesterday. I co-officiated with Kurt Ritzma, pastor of Bethel Christian Reformed Church here in Waupun, and I also did some music. Just a beautiful celebration, and you'll see all around you decorations from that event, and of course the flowers on the altar and all of that. Just a wonderful day of celebration, and we are bursting with joy and pride for Emily and Matthew. And of course, Becky and Buck as well. So the only announcement that I know for sure, Becky normally comes in on Mondays. She does not know when she's coming in tomorrow. I saw her at the reception and I was like, "You're coming in on Monday?" Well, if you need Becky, just give her a text or a call before you come and see her to make sure she is upright after all of that wedding festivities. I should have a fairly normal schedule this week, barring any other things coming up. Any other announcements?
I have a couple. Just to make sure to look at the sign-up sheets on the butcher block. We need people especially for Friday for the brat fry. And also we need drivers for you. Each Sunday there's a sign-up sheet that goes through the end of August, end of the summer worship schedule. So if you have the time to please take a look at it. And we also need liturgists for a couple more weeks for August. It's already filling up quick, so thank you for those that signed up. That's it.
Great, thank you. Let's see. If there are no other announcements, let's share the peace of Christ with one another. Before we start our worship this morning, you can be seated. Before we start our worship this morning, Steve Garness Holmes had a lovely poem, and I went ahead and used that as a centering moment for us. And you'll notice a few things are a little bit out of order, and that was not intentional. I'm using the framework for a service that I used at another church, and I had it the way that they did it, and I realized that I didn't switch things around. So, shocker, I'm reusing things. So this is This is Ask, Seek, Knock by Steve Garnes Holmes.
Ask, seek, knock. Ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Luke 11:9. God is not a vending machine, but the mystery is abundantly generous. Jesus doesn't promise that we get what we want. He invites us to question, to seek, to explore. Ask questions, even doubtful ones. In wondering, find blessing and gifts. Eyes open, look for the grace that is always here, and you will find. God is not the secret behind the door. God is the door. Always beckoning. Seeking you. Asking, knock. Always opening.
All right, if you are able to stand up now, go for it. Please join with me in the call to worship. You teach us to pray.
You show us your grace, and our wonder is our prayer to you.
Christ, your love gives us joy. Let our gratitude
be our prayer to you.
Holy Spirit, you fill us with your power. Let our lives be our prayer to you, and let this, our worship, bring you praise. Please join with me in the unison prayer. God of open doors, we give you thanks with our whole hearts for the chance to be together today. Though we could have been elsewhere, we are glad we are here. Though we could have been with others, we are glad to be with these people. Though we could have been with you or you with us, no matter what, we are glad to meet. Your name is holy, O God. We call it together. Gracious God, risen Christ, Holy Spirit, we are here at your doorstep. Let's join the opening hymn, number 478.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Now is the time for any young worshipers with us to come up. Torin, do you want to come up? No? Not feeling it? Okay. Maybe Mom will come with her. How you doing? Good? Good. Good to see you. So today, we're talking about prayer. So, is prayer something you do at your house? Do you pray at night, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah? Like maybe before you go to bed or when you wake up in the morning? Do you have a favorite prayer that you pray? Is there something special you do every day, or is it different? You just pray when it's bedtime? Yeah, a lot of us grew up praying when it was bedtime. I know I did, and I had like very similar prayers that I would pray every night, and I would pray much the same things. Like I would pray for special people in my life, maybe thanking God for my parents, for my sister, for my grandparents. You know, do you maybe thank God for your mom and dad, and you know, people like that? Your brother prays too. That's good that you all pray together. That's a good thing. So sometimes we pray for special people in our lives that need God to be with them if they're sick or if they're having a hard time or whatever. Today we're going to talk about how sometimes prayer is a bit of a complicated thing. Sometimes we don't understand what prayer is and why it's important. But this is a reminder, and this is the story of the very first time Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. Do you remember how sometimes we pretty much every week here we say Our Father who art in heaven and that whole prayer? So there was a time that the disciples didn't know that prayer, and the disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. And that is kind of what we're going to be talking about today. So I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you all to repeat it back to me. Dear God, thank you for teaching us how to pray and how to be with each other and how to care for one another. Help us pray to you for the people in our lives who need you the most. And help us pray to you for ourselves, that we might continue to share your love with everyone we meet, wherever we go. Amen. Thanks for coming up. You can go sit down now. Yeah. So we're going to share in a prayer now of transformation and new life. Some people might call it a prayer of confession. Let's pray together. God of abundant grace, we confess that we at times are not always forgiving as we have been forgiven. We are not always merciful as we have been shown mercy. We are not always loving as we are so deeply loved. Help us change our hearts and minds that they may beat with the rhythm of your heart. Amen. Friends, take heart. The search for a deeper faith is always ongoing. We are all on the way. No one has arrived. Each day is a new opportunity to start again. By the grace of God, we are forgiven. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is Psalm 138. I give thanks to you with all my heart, Lord. I sing your praise before all other gods. I bow toward your holy temple and thank your name for your loyal love and faithfulness, because you have made your name and word greater than anything else. On the day I cried out, you answered me. You encouraged me with your inner strength. Let all the earth's rulers give thanks to you, Lord, when they hear what you say. Let them sing about the Lord's ways, because the Lord's glory is so great. Even though the Lord is high, he can still see the lowly, but God keeps his distance from the arrogant. Wherever I am, whenever I am in deep trouble, you make me live again. You send your power against my enemy's wrath, and you save me with your strong hand. The Lord will do all this for my sake. Your faithful love lasts forever. Lord, don't let go of what your hands have made. New Testament lesson is from Luke, chapter 11. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And so he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything of a friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, you would give him a snake instead of a fish? Or the child who asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here end our readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. Today's media song comes from my friend Richard Brooksworth Colligan. This is Teach Us What It Means to Pray.
Teach us what it means to pray in all this world of sorrow. Teach us what it means to pray and do our part for good. More than duty, more than words can say, teach us what it means to pray. Teach us what it means to live with a whole heart on this planet. Teach us what it means to live, even only for you what to give. Teach us what it means to live. What it means to try to heal the world split open. Teach us what it means to try to share another's pain. One part suffers, all creation cries. Teach us what it means to try. Teach us what it means to live. Teach us what it means to pray.
Let us pray. God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So prayer is kind of a mysterious thing. I've had lots of moments in my own life where it seemed like God was with me and my prayers have been answered. I bet that most of us probably have had those kinds of moments. A lot of people prayed for me when I was first born, 12 weeks early, at 2 pounds and 11 ounces, and that I would survive and have a happy and meaningful life. And now you wouldn't even know it. I'm a tall drink of water, and I've grown this way a little, you know. That's kind of how it is with prayer. I love what Steve Garnes Holmes says about the fact that God is not a vending machine. Because that's so often what people think about when we think about prayer. We ask God for what we want, and we say that we believe God and that we love God, and voila, whatever we ask for is just granted. And Jesus even says, "Ask and it will be given to you, and seek and you will find." But of course, something so simplistic is not really how God operates. We've talked a lot about how being close to the heart of God means caring about things that God cares about, and how prayer necessarily invites us into that discernment. Another example of another little short story about prayer that I'll share. When I was at a pastoral relations committee meeting when I was the sabbatical minister at First Congregational of Oshkosh, which was the church I was at before I came here, I asked the pastoral relations committee if anybody would like to pray for us as we started the meeting. Deer in the headlights from grown adults, right? There are so many people that feel like they don't offer to pray because they feel maybe that their words aren't good enough, or maybe they don't know how, maybe they were never taught, maybe people feel like, you know, the pastor has this direct connection to God somehow and can pray a certain way that nobody else can, right? And now, there is some sort of a teaching component in learning how to pray. We'll talk today about how Jesus modeled prayer, and I did take a class in seminary about praying certain prayers and how to design a worship service and all of that sort of thing. And one of the lessons that we've developed in our new confirmation curriculum this year focuses on how to pray, but I always maintain that there's no right or wrong way to pray. And you know, we'll talk about that a little bit too, but as we look at today's scripture, which depicts Luke's account of the first time that Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray, Matthew talks about it as well, and his rendering is a little bit different. I've wondered why this prayer in particular is the prayer that we pray every week. What makes this prayer so special and important and instructive for us that it stands the test of time after over 2,000 years? So when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, they were gaining insight into what was most important to Jesus. Jesus responded with the typical ingredients for a prayer: an address to a God we know intimately, words of thanks and words of hope and words of need. We acknowledge that God is holy and that God has important hopes for the world, and that God responds to our needs. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. Jesus also modeled some of the realistic needs to bring to God, giving us the sustenance that we need for the day and intervening for us that we may not be unfairly put to the test, and the ability to forgive others as God has forgiven us. And the commentator Jennifer S. Wyant reminds us that Jesus offers this prayer not as this magical formula or the only acceptable. Whoop, got a little excited there. Jesus offers this not as just this magical formula or the only acceptable prayer, but as a simple and accessible and theologically rich framework, maybe a template, rooted in trust and dependence on God, a guide for both prayer and living before God. In the song that we just heard, my friend Richard Brooksford Colligan talks about the importance of being mindful of the world around us when we learn to pray. And this is another important piece of the prayer. This song was written to be part of a collection of creation-centered songs and creation justice songs. And I love the imagery of teach us what it means to try to heal a world split open. Teach us what it means to live with a whole heart on this planet. And having summarized the prayer, it seems important to talk about just a couple of the pieces of it. This prayer follows an ancient Jewish prayer structure. And one of the most important pieces of this prayer is for Jesus to establish the intimacy that we have with God. Some describe that intimacy by using the word Father. Some Creator. Some use our Father and Mother, depending on what other, you know, what tradition we have. The adaptation of the Lord's Prayer in the New Zealand Book of Prayer addresses God in this way: Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer life giver, source of all that is and all that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven. The whole rendering of the New Zealand Lord's Prayer is just gorgeous. If that's your thing, you might really enjoy that. And by whatever names and description, the commentator Naveen Saras describes that intimacy with God as the most important part of this prayer. Because knowing that we are loved by God as we come to pray to God creates a different kind of relationship, that we're not just praying to somebody up there, right? We're praying to a God that we have an intense and loving and an immense relationship with. There's another important piece to this prayer as well, which Jesus illustrates by telling a parable. An important ingredient to a prayer is the time where we ask for what we need. Jesus talks about the importance of asking God to fill our needs. And he compares it to children asking their parents for food. And he uses the rather frightening image of a snake. We wouldn't give a snake to a child that's hungry. And Jesus ends by reminding his disciples that it's important to ask for what they need while also being mindful of others and creation with whom we share the world. So why is it this prayer that we repeat every week? How do we redeem it so that it doesn't just become this? Jesus invites us to pray for all those around us and for the world and for that God's hope will come to fruition. When we pray that God's realm will come to the world, we're praying for justice and peace and comprehensive well-being of all creation, in the words of my seminary professor, Clint McCann, that all will be well. When we pray to receive the food we need for today, we remember not to take more than what we need, as Moses instructed his people. We remember to be mindful of what other people need as well. We in our prayers of the people we talk about every week, we talk about those who are experiencing homelessness, those who are experiencing poverty, those who are experiencing war and conflict and abuse and all sorts of things like that. And all of you offer up prayer petitions for example, a sibling dealing with cancer treatment, or people who have lost their jobs, or people who are experiencing natural disasters, or people who don't know where to turn when they're having a crisis of faith, or people who are traveling, or all sorts of different things. And so we remember, and Jesus reminds us of the importance of thinking about all of that. When we pray that our debts and the debts of others may be forgiven, we don't just mean this in a financial way. We mean this in a way that we're dedicated to repairing relationships and learning to live in community with one another. When we mess up, when we don't always hit the mark in terms of how to show love to one another, we ask to have to be forgiven as God has forgiven us, and for us to have the strength to forgive somebody else. Finally, when we pray not to be led into temptation and to be delivered from evil, we are praying that God will protect us from the people and situations that will harm us and make us forget whose we are. We are praying that we can be empowered to not be tempted to other people, to make people feel smaller, to make people feel like they are not made in the image of God, and that we are, because we are not the judge. Here at UCC, when you pray that all of these things may be so, you are empowered to be God's hands and feet in the world, and God's realm will appear, and God's will be done when we share our resources with our community, when we care for those who are oppressed by unjust systems, and when we care for one another as a community of Christ. So, my friends, let us use this prayer to model our living. Sometimes we don't know how to pray in a life situation when something happens to us, and sometimes we don't know the right words. Sometimes we don't know what God desires of us. This might be a good start. But when we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us and live according to his teachings, we are doing our part so that God's hope for the world may be realized on earth as it is in heaven. So, my friends, may your whole life be a prayer. May you pray not just at night or in the morning, you know, having this ritual prayer practice, which all of those rituals are important, like Torin was talking about. But I pray often when I do the dishes and when I'm in the middle of something, doing housework or whatever. And may we all continue to live our whole lives as a prayer. And may God's hope for the world be realized in you through your working, through your loving, and through your being. Thanks be to God. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all the gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. May you give generously as your heart and spirit invite you to give, whether by sharing your offering in the offering plate as the ushers come by, or by giving online at uccwaupun.net. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Gracious God, you offer our prayers and our lives to your service. Help us use them to work together with you until your will is done. Amen. You may be seated. Now we come into a time of sharing the prayers of our hearts. Let's first take a moment and think of the people and situations that we need to pray for today. Amen. So, of course, we give great thanks for the love of Emily and Matthew, and we rejoice with Becky and Buck and Pam and Steve and all of those who shared in that ceremony yesterday. For all of them, God, in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring today?
We have a praise. We became great grandparents for the first time this past week.
Woo-hoo!
A little girl, her name is Oakley Lynn, and she's doing well. And so is Mom.
What'd you say her name was?
Oakley Lynn.
Oakley. Wonderful. Wonderful. Congratulations, Jane and Steve, for new life sprouting forth. God, in your mercy. What other prayers? I think there's one over here. Yep.
For our friends Liz and Chuck, whose little newborn granddaughter passed away on the day she was born.
Oh. For Liz and Jeff, Chuck, as they mourn the loss of their newborn baby. God, in your mercy. Anything else today? Okay. I'll give you a second to get back and see if there's anything on Zoom.
No.
No. Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer. God, in your grace and love, you gather us here to be in community, to lift one another up, to share in our joy and in our sorrows. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't have the right words. Sometimes we think that words aren't enough. For all this, we remember that you are with us and that that your son Jesus is with us. We pray as he taught for those who are homeless. We pray as he taught for those who are unemployed at the moment, for those who are in abusive or difficult situations, those who are facing food insecurity, those who are dealing with grief and loss, whether anticipatory or afterward. We ask for you to be with all of us as we remember the joys and sorrows that have been shared and the people who are on our hearts, whether we've spoken them in this space or whether they are held in our minds. And so we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 462, Renew Your Church. Thank you. receive these words of benediction. Friends, what we know now is only a shadow of what is to come. Go out and open doors. Shine the light of Christ's love into the shadows. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.